Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in for another daily editorial this Tuesday. I think we've got a really good one coming up. I'm going to make a number of comments on some of the comments that you listeners made, and I'm going to use your names because the comments are getting really, really thoughtful, insightful, and just damn good. But we're not going to start out with that. We're going to start out a little bit with the lockdown that's going on right now, and pretty scary. Jimmy, what are your comments on that?
Yeah, so the Chinese government has actually installed this zero COVID policy, which has actually shut down the financial hub of China, which is Shanghai. And they're locking everybody in. Foreigners that are living there are completely isolated. People are isolated in the street. They're arresting anybody that's outside. It's absolutely a dystopian future.
Yeah.
For a variation of Omicron, the BA2 variation apparently, which really has no impact.
Yeah.
So the probability of them to be able to successfully, stop this is zero. It's not, they're not going to be able to stop it. So it's just a ridiculous exercise of control.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I think is really happening. I think they realize this. I think the Chinese government from the beginning in 2019 and early 2020 used the videos and the fear of a potential pandemic as a propaganda tool to shut down Western economies, in particular the United States, that cost the administration that was pushing back against them, the Trump administration, cost them the election, and they were able to install their own puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, people that aren't going to be the same as aggressively against them, and we see that very clearly. I think they're attempting with Shanghai to use that same methodology again, using the propaganda to tell people that, hey, you got to lock down, you got to shut down, and basically do the same thing in the past. It's going to hurt their economy. But here's the thing about authoritarian governments. They don't care about their people. They will take whatever losses it takes for them to achieve their power. And that's what we see in China. That's what you see in Russia and Ukraine, with loss of maybe up to between 15 and 20,000 soldiers in Ukraine for Russia. But they don't care, because they don't care about the population. Putin doesn't care about what the people think, and they're going to continue to manipulate them. And I think what's happening right now in Shanghai and in China with the zero COVID policy is a propaganda effort that's actually failing. And unfortunately, it's really, really devastating their local economy, as well as having an impact internationally. And it may drag out to continue with the supply chain issues, and may have further implications for global markets. And it certainly will have implications for the United States and the leftist locations that continue to follow those same patterns, like New York and California. So we'll see what happens. But it looks like in the U.S., at least, things are starting to open up with the judge declaring the TSA mandates for airports illegal.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I want to go back to another comment here, James, because it's something that you mentioned quite frequently. I want to get to the comment before I answer the question, because somebody made a comment that I think is really kind of interesting. Holy Grail, we're going to talk about yours in just a second, but now I want to talk about, hang on a minute, I can't find it, that's okay. I want to talk about the comment that one of you guys made, and you know who it is right away, and as soon as I can find the name, I will give you credit for it. You said that Donald Trump unfortunately spent money like a drunken sailor during his administration in the executive office. The comment I will want to make about that, and I want to get an answer from Jimmy, is what option did he have? I know he raised the deficit, but what option did he have, Jimmy, in your opinion?
Well, okay, and I think John's actually made the comment, and I think he's accurate.
Thanks, John.
His concern about the budget and the deficit is incredibly important. It's the debt and the deficit. what I think your point, which I think is a very valid point, is, okay, for the first 3 years, Trump did a phenomenal job in reducing, you know, increasing economic growth,
right,
increasing revenues, decreasing government spending. However, when it came to the COVID time, he did start throwing money at the problem. And that was based on these thoughts and fears that, and the government mandates to lock out airports and shut down a business's economy. Mm-hmm. So his initial assumption was, okay, we'll take the debt in order to protect the economy. What I think his big failure, I think Trump's big failure, was he trusted too many people. He trusted Mike Pence. He trusted Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx.
He
trusted the people in the CDC and the federal government that were telling him this is a way to go about it. And he trusted a lot of the Republicans who helped pass those bills in order to put this, you know, this massive spending in place in order to help people out, because he thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And now what we're seeing in hindsight is, in fact, those issues actually are creating this tremendous, incredibly bad inflation, but it continued when it should have stopped long ago.
Yeah.
And it should have stopped within, actually, the 15 days should have never have happened. You know, 15 days to slow the spread. That was based on fabricated information, on false, on theory, not on fact. And all the data that was coming in was actually, and what has been proven since, that they overestimated the impact of COVID.
Yeah.
And they absolutely hid the federal government and the agencies, the NIAID, the FDA, the CDC, National Institute of Health, the NIH. They were all complicit in creating the problem in the beginning. And so Trump was unaware of that. Clearly, he doesn't control every aspect of the federal government. He doesn't manage all those offices. And they were trying to cover themselves and cover it up. And that's what's so, in my mind, absolutely criminal is what has happened. And Trump did not understand that people in the federal government, inside Washington, D.C., covering their own CYA, covering their own behinds,
right,
and they were willing to sacrifice the American people and the American public and the economy in order to cover up for their mistakes and their fraudulent efforts. And yep. I think that's where, yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. And in that case, I tend to agree with John in some aspects of it. I think that Trump would be a lot more educated and have a lot better team in place if he comes back again. But whoever comes back in 2024 better have a better handle on what's happening inside the federal government,
mm-hmm,
and get rid of a lot of this dead weight that's actually creating all these problems.
Well, and that leads into another comment, but I would also put that one off just for a little bit. I want to start out with a comment that CFS made. His comment was, do I care about Ukraine? I don't know. In the abstract, I care about fellow human beings. Most of my life has been spent not enriching myself, but in learning and teaching others. I'm in exactly the same boat that you're in, CFS. I want to say that CFS goes on and he says, I blame the people of Ukraine in allowing their country to become a cesspool of corruption. I'm not really sure that's true about the Ukraine 100%, but I'd like to get your comment on that, Jimmy.
So in a democracy, you could blame the people. We can blame the Americans for allowing the corruption to take whatever 81 million people, quote, 81 million people that voted for Joe Biden. That's yeah. our fault. That is American population's fault. But here's the problem, and this is where many people, CFS and many of our right-wing and conservative brethren who are looking at this problem in a way, nobody started from a purist ethic in the former Soviet Union. When Ukraine voted by 90% to separate from the Soviet Union, Leonid Kravchuk, the president of Ukraine, was a former communist.
Yeah.
The people that took power in Moscow, in Kiev, in other former outlying states of the former Soviet Union were corrupt, and they took power and they own the industry. They own the big influence, the media. They own those aspects. There was never an opportunity for the public to actually take democratic or even a republic control. And as they were struggling to do that, because they were pushing back against the corruption, mm-hmm. and that's why they voted 73% for Vladimir Zelensky in Ukraine,
right.
Because he was not an insider. He wasn't one of them. And yes, he is a liberal European, has a liberal European view, which is not exactly what I support, but he was definitely, the people were voting to try to get away from the Russia and the oligarchic corruption. And that's the problem of all the former Soviet states, with the exception of the Baltic states. And you know why? Because they immediately decommunized. Mm-hmm. They kicked the Russians and the communists out. They got Western ideas in there. They got Western people in there. Estonia is a phenomenal example where they basically disenfranchised the Russian public and the Russian-speaking population in order to reestablish control away from the corruption.
Yeah.
And then it worked. And now Estonia is prospering very well and has integrated those people back in that chose to be there.
Mm-hmm. You know, that brings up another very interesting point, and that is that Holy Grail made a comment about the Durham investigation. He said that a secret Trump server is communicating with the Russian bank was a totally fictitious claim put out by Hillary, which had no basis in fact. Whatsoever. It was just totally made up. He goes on in the next paragraph and he says, in a new filing, Durham revealed that the CIA concluded the cell phone data and internet traffic provided by Clinton attorney Sussman was, quote, not technically plausible and user created. Now, I'm not sure if Holy Grail was quoting Martin Armstrong when he said that, but that's
actually quoting the filing from Durham.
Very
valid.
The judge. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jim. I mean, totally not possible. Anyhow, Holy Grail, you went on and made a comment. You said Hebrews 10:31 is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Boy, is it ever. Next comment that I picked out that I thought was really interesting is one that we already talked about. It was brought forth by John Krzyzewski. Thank you very much for your comments, John. I really am starting to really, really, and I have to say that twice, appreciate a lot of the comments that are coming in, because they are very insightful and they're not just spewing venom, for lack of better terms. Is there anything else? I think those are the comments that I thought were really, really pertinent and really, really excellent. Another topic that really didn't come from the comments, and that was something I read this morning in one of my sources, and that is that the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, perhaps giving way too much support to what Putin is doing. It is totally unchristian what Putin is doing, in my opinion. Any comments, Jim?
Yeah, so the Orthodox Church in Russia and the state have been connected since the Soviet times.
Mm-hmm.
There is a phenomenon. I've recommended this in the notes before, but I'm going to recommend it here for our listeners and the people that read the blog. The movie Leviathan.
Yeah,
which is a recent movie. It's in Russian with subtitles, but it absolutely exemplifies the relationship between the state, certainly with Putin, and the Orthodox Church,
yeah.
and the level of financial corruption and influence that is there. They are symbiotic. One has to, you know, kind of carry the load for the other. In both cases, both the Putin administration, Putin regime, as well as the Orthodox Church, and the senior leaders there have been corrupted over the years. That's how they survive.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the reality. And they're going, if they went against Putin, like anybody else, like the news media or the news announcers that have said something against him and have been either arrested or moved off the job instantly, and in some cases have disappeared. And in many cases, over the last 10 years, 15 years, have died. That's what happens when you speak against somebody like Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
There is no debate inside Russia against Vladimir Putin. If you're the opposition leader, where are you right now? You're in a 9-year prison cell because he said you were protesting illegally, right. the opposition leader in Russia. If you were Khodorkovsky, if you had too much power because you were financially an oligarch and began to actually potentially threaten Putin's power, you spent a decade in prison. This is exactly how the corrupt oligarchy works in the former Soviet Union, and why the people that somehow think that Vladimir Putin or that any one of these former leaders in the communist system are somehow now good people and they're going to save us against a new world order are absolutely insanely ignorant of what happens there. And the other one that I want to say that we've read notice about talking about what happened to investors in the 90s in Russia.
Yeah.
When Putin, as he consolidated power, and in the 2000s, early 2000s. Yeah. Red notice. Read it. Watch Leviathan. Get a little bit of flavor for what the Russians actually think and feel.
You can count on that one, Jim. I want to go back to a comment that FIH made. It was the opening comment on this particular, pertaining to this particular daily editorial. FIH says, quote, God bless Big Al. Thank you very much for saying that. But I have to say, Jimmy is very definitely a Christian brother of mine. He and his family pray together every night. God bless Jimmy also. Jimmy is adding incredible value to this show. Jim, I have no other comments. Do you? Go ahead.
It was the Easter Bunny leading the U.S., the nation, turning Biden away.
Yep.
The insanity of what's happening inside the White House and how long they can keep up this facade is beyond me. How they can keep lying and let this man continue to think, let people think that he's in charge. It's incredibly sad.
Well, I guess the only question is how long can this go on? It is getting absolutely nuts. So, Jimmy, we've been going for almost 18 minutes. Any other comments?
No, I think that's plenty for the day.
Thanks, Jim. You guys, thanks for really, really uplifting the tenure of your comments or the subject or the insight, I guess I have to say, of your comments. I love you all and God bless you all.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.